I love summer. The long daylight hours give me more energy than I could ever imagine finding in the middle of January. Anyone with me on that? I love that when I woke up this morning at about 4:50, the sun was already greeting me. I also love summer because it is the season of road trips. It's a time to take in the countryside and meet new people and experience things that aren't common here at home. My family recently bought a new-to-us minivan about a month ago. We've already put over 2,000 miles on it on little trips, and we bought this van in part because we're planning a cross-country road trip in about a month through Yellowstone and then on to Idaho and Washington, where we will meet up with a group traveling to Holden. We're also at a time this summer here at Zumbro where our middle schoolers and our high schoolers are packing up and heading out on mission trips too. We have 33 high schoolers and adults in Jamaica right now serving at churches and orphanages. And right after worship today, I'll be heading out with 14 middle schoolers and adults on a trip to an Indian reservation in South Dakota. You can follow us on these adventures on Zumbro's blog, and if you want, you can find that on our website or on our Facebook page. It's fun to see where God sends us and hear stories from our kids. Before setting out on any trip, though, you need a good packing list. Packing list is one of those things that helps us figure out what the trip's purpose is, right? If you're packing your tent and a sleeping bag and a rain jacket and plenty of bug spray, you're probably going camping. Or if you have sunscreen and a hat and a swimsuit, you're probably going to find some time near the water. When I was packing for the mission trip this week, the list had things on it like pants that could get full of paint and sweat and mud, closed-toed shoes, a water bottle, a sleeping pad, and pillow. It's clear just from this list that we are not going to the spa for a week. We're going to work and serve and get hot and dirty. It's exactly what we're all looking forward to. In Luke's gospel, Jesus appoints 70 people and sends them out on a mission of their own. They're going to practice the way of life Jesus is calling them to live. Reach out to strangers, cure the sick, announce that no matter how people think or respond, God's peace and salvation is near. These 70 have been changed by their encounter with Jesus, and that change will impact how they live the rest of their lives. What I love about this story here is that Jesus extends his invitation and his call to ministry beyond those 12 special disciples and sends out 70. It's as though he's saying, this kind of life is not reserved for a special group of people. This is what it means to follow me. This is what it means to have life and have it abundantly. And you all have what it takes to do this. Unlike the packing list for our mission trips today, Jesus' packing list for these 70 servants has a lot more on it about what not to bring, though, than what to bring. He says, don't carry a bag or a purse or an extra pair of sandals. Travel lightly. Live lightly. Because the way that I'm sending you out, you're not going to need a lot of stuff. In fact, the less stuff you have, the easier it will be for you to do what I do. Maybe it's because carrying too much stuff along the way would slow down the mission. Or maybe it's because some of those 70 didn't have an extra pair of sandals to start with, and others may have had plenty. Or maybe by having to attend to what they have, they wouldn't be able to see what kind of gift they had in front of them when they meet those that they're sent to. By instructing them to travel lightly, Jesus levels the field for this pair, these 35 pairs, so that they can all stay focused on their purpose for why they're going. Now, it's not easy to travel through life lightly. Overpacking, whether it is for a road trip or our own lives, is pretty easy these days. In fact, when I was coming in the church this morning, the Boy Scouts were leaving on camp, and I overheard parents talking to one another, and as I walked by, someone said, "We always overpack for our trips." They're lamenting how they had to convince their 14-year-old not to bring about 12 different things. We have this tendency to overpack material goods and our schedules and the lists of things we feel we have to accomplish in order to be whole beings. And the way we measure our stuff and our status and our time often pulls us apart rather than brings us together. But that's what Jesus sets out to do, is to bring people together, to share life together with a life of peace, a life of wholeness. Jesus never counts how much stuff we have or how much we have accomplished. Instead, when he sends us out, he tells us to make sure that we have someone to share that journey with and to bring about as much faith and courage with us along the way. It's a pretty light packing list, if you ask me. It's not always easy to follow in this way of Jesus. Remember, he sent those 70 out like lambs into the midst of wolves. People aren't always interested in what Jesus offers. I think sometimes it's easier and maybe even more convenient to make life about our stuff than what Jesus might be calling us to do with our lives. But here's the thing, though. If you're willing to travel lightly, if you're willing to just take a little risk to hear what Jesus has to say, you may be surprised by the people and the places where God's peace comes near. You may discover that the people with whom you share peace have little in common with you, or that those you think focus most on what they have actually are seeking peace that Jesus offers far more than it appears. But you'll never find out until you risk extending that peace to another person. You'll never find out unless you take up that call that Jesus invites us into. These people that you might meet may not be of the same race or religion or share the same political persuasion. And you don't have to convince them to think or do anything differently than they think right now. Jesus just calls us to be with those whom he wants peace to rest on. That's what he sends us out for. What we do is show up, and God does the rest. Professor Rolf Jacobson from Luther Seminary once said, "The church's mission is not to be great hosts, but to be great guests." We will be judged by how well we receive other people's cultures and smells and foods and habits, as much as we are judged by our churches. He said, "The church is the church when it is sent." When it is sent. Yes, it's important to gather here, my friends, on Sunday morning and to be renewed in faith and encouraged by one another's company. But we are the church when we go out with a purpose, when we go out with a message of peace and salvation and life and hope for others. We go out when we go out and are sent to travel lightly, to encounter those who may need God's peace. This past Tuesday on the 4th of July, Erica and I went up to Duluth for the day to see my brother Chris's band play in the 4th of July on the lakefront. He was a bit nervous. He and his band had never played in front of such a large crowd, so we thought we'd go up there and give him a little encouragement. After they played, we grabbed a beer and we had the chance to go backstage and meet a bunch of other people. As I was standing around talking to my brother and a couple of other people, I met a guy named John. He was one of my brother's good friends from college. He approached me with this big smile on his face, a beer in his hand and the other hand stretched out ready to shake mine and greet me. He seemed eager to be in relationship. We introduced ourselves and we started to talk. I had heard that he had recently moved to Minneapolis, and I asked him how it was and what he was doing there. And it turns out that one of the things that he's taken up is a job at one of the new beer companies in Northeast Minneapolis. He said, "I get to sell beer." And he raised his glass. I got a very quick impression that he had a bit of a wild streak and liked to have a lot of fun. Well, we talked for a bit more, maybe about 10 more minutes, about life in the city and his experience in Minneapolis, and then he turned to me and he said, "So, what do you do?" I paused. I smiled a little bit nervously, thinking, how is this going to go? Well, I said, "I'm a pastor." His eyes got big. And then he had this inquisitive look on his face. And he said, "What does that even mean?" And then he started to talk about how he wasn't a believer. He'd been raised Jewish, and he knows how important this is to his family, but it just never made much sense to him. And then he plunged into some deep questions about the purpose of life, about faith, about doubt. He shared what he thought too. And over the next 45 minutes, we shared in peace. In spite of some very different habits and perspectives on some things, we realized we shared a common love for people. We thought that the world is better off when we listen to one another for understanding and common ground. We had some great laughs. And something about this unexpected conversation felt sacred, as though peace, Christ's peace, was being exchanged there. I just thought I was going to Duluth for a concert that day. But it turned out God showed up too, and something more happened. You see, friends, whether we are going across the street or to work, or on a road trip across the country, Jesus sends us out to share life and peace with others, to seek what Jesus calls the kingdom of God. It may not look like what we think it may look like. We may not know how to find it unless we travel lightly. So travel lightly, my friends, and pay attention along the way. Jesus is right. The kingdom of God has come and is still coming near. You never know what God might place in your life, who God may place in your life, that will share that peace with you and remind you that we are always sent out with a purpose. Amen.